This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
10:07. Whoop, I did it. You know it's 10:07. Or maybe it's not 10:07 when you're listening to this. I got my hand slapped. We got to think about radio in a different way.
It's 10:07.
No more
correct, though.
Triple time check on the WCCO. Adam Carter, Rod Irons back with you. On the well, let's get into Congress. What's with these clowns, huh? By the way, thank you. Jordana off today. DJ off today. By the way, we just got a text because Dave yesterday was talking about how the Cub Foods near him is closing and everything was 50% off. And he was wondering whether or not it'd be worth it for him to make a special trip to Cub Foods to take advantage of everything 50% off. And both Jordana and
I'm assuming Brooklyn Park
are saying absolutely.
Brooklyn Park is probably the location, I'm assuming, maybe.
I guess.
I know that one is closing, which is a bummer. But
somebody texted in, shout out to David for the tip about discounts at the Cub Foods closing in a couple of weeks. Last night, I bought an 18-pound turkey, contact solution, and vitamins. All 50% off. Next week goes to 70% off.
Ooh.
So if you can wait, if you think something's still going to be around, next week it'll be 70% off. Good move. Way to go, David.
Adam, Walmart is being investigated in Canada.
In Canada.
Apparently a 19-year-old Walmart employee was found inside a walk-in oven in the store's bakery department. Officers were called to the store located at 6990 Mumford Road in Halifax around 9:30 to investigate the sudden death of a 19-year-old woman whose body was found inside there. The investigation is complex, police say, and involves several partner agencies. Walmart did not state any further on the incident due to it being under investigation. But have you ever heard of someone being stuck inside of an oven in a major retailer like this?
No, what this reminds me of, though, I think it was at Regents Hospital. This is probably 15 to 20 years ago. Somebody was killed when they were in like there's a walk-in like sanitizer that sanitizes all like surgical equipment.
Oof.
So I think it's like hot, extremely hot water
that
sterilizes things, or sterilizer. And I think somebody got caught in that and was killed, but just awful. And, not sure what safety measures failed here, but clearly there should have been safety measures so somebody doesn't get trapped in a walk-in oven like that.
It just sounds terrifying.
Yeah, probably a horrible, horrible death, and hopefully they can correct that problem so it doesn't happen again.
For the first time in history of the state of Minnesota, it snowed on Halloween.
Never happened before.
Yeah, never before. Snow fell yesterday, wreaking some havoc throughout the metro, including Wayzata High School. They were let out early yesterday.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I know, right? Come on.
Soft.
They had a power outage. I guess you have to be able to afford, I guess, to keep the power on in a school like that, even though Wayzata is basically a college. If you've ever driven past it, it's
yeah, huge campus.
Yeah. So how they lost power, I don't know. But apparently about midway through the day, they let school out early, and thousands of customers experienced outages. Even the Crystal Court, where our own Susie Jones made her way over there yesterday, started having glass panes from the ceiling falling into the main floor there. Police stepped in to reroute passerbys entering the building. Was this, Adam, the worst snowfall in Halloween history?
No. We'll still go with the 91. But here's my question. I saw this story about Susie's story, and I saw a lot of tree branches snap. It didn't seem to me like, okay, wet, heavy snow is very obviously very heavy, and it caused damage, but it didn't seem to me like it was that much snow to cause that kind of damage, especially at the IDS center.
What kind of glass?
With a plane, with a pane of glass dropping. It's like we get heavy snow all the time. So
took way more than that to take down the Metrodome.
Right.
That was my
first
thought.
So I'm wondering, because it was so early in the season, did that have something to do with it? Maybe. As far as, you know, like tree branches and things like that? But, I mean, it's nothing new to know that heavy snow takes down power lines and branches and does other kinds of damage. It was surprising to me because it didn't seem like that much snow, but there you go.
And to be honest, like, how often have those panes been replaced or inspected? I guess I don't know the routine measures that Minneapolis
hopefully
takes
often if they're falling out of the roof.
Yeah.
You need to inspect them a little more closely.
Yeah. Russia is seeking an unfathomable sum of money from one of the world's biggest tech companies. I'm hoping I'll be able to pronounce this correctly. Google reportedly owes the Kremlin more than 2 undecillion rubies. Is that
rubles?
Okay, 2 followed by 36 zeros after refusing to pay fines that are now accruing for blocking pro-Russian channels on YouTube. Adam, can Google afford to foot this huge of a bill, or will they? Should I say
no? Because I believe I heard that 20 decillion dollars. Or 20 billion trillion trillion is more money than exists in the world. So no offense, Vlad. I don't think you're going to get that payment made. But yeah, that's a lot of zeros. It's like your paycheck, right? That has equal number of zeros, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll do another one here. It was announced yesterday that Minnesota Twins outfielder Alex Kirilloff has announced his retirement at the age of 26 years old, after what many people were hoping as a star in the making for the Twins. Kirilloff did ram into a handful of injuries during his 4-year tenure with the Twins. Originally was drafted in 2016 and was brought into the fold during the COVID season. Actually debuted on September 30th, which was one of the postseason matchups against the Astros. Adam, how will you remember Alex Kirilloff of the Minnesota Twins?
I guess an unrealized talent. Sad that injuries... It happens, you know, and unfortunately the Twins have seen their share of, you know, great players whose either careers have been cut short by injury or just we don't experience the full enchilada, so to speak, because of constant nagging injuries.
Yeah.
And it's sad because, you know, there was so much promise for Alex Kirilloff, and I hope, you know, maybe obviously his health is of utmost importance. And if he gets in a place where he can sit, because reading his, you know, his retirement announcement yesterday, he clearly loves the game, clearly wants to be in the game in some capacity, and I hope he's able to do that. But number one is his health. But yeah, you think, I mean, even like Joe Mauer, obviously first ballot Hall of Famer, but you think about, well, how his career might have been different without certain injuries.
Yeah, Morneau, Mauer.
Justin Morneau, Byron Buxton, Royce Lewis. I mean,
it's getting to that scary situation where you wonder, 26, and these
right,
it's not too far off from where these guys are. So that kind of concerns me a little bit.
And you wonder about, you know, can you be in too good a shape?
Yeah,
because you look at baseball, years past where, obviously guys still got injured, but it just they didn't happen with the frequency and severity.
Yeah.
But these guys are so finely tuned now. They're working out constantly that the wear and tear on the body, I think, is they're much more susceptible to these injuries because of the constant work that they're doing even in the off season. But that's why the game is so good, is because they're so talented in such great shape. But yeah, you wonder if a mindset will change at any point. But
it's just tough.
10-16, is it okay? I say if I'm invited to a party, I want to know who else is going to be there. But is that rude for me to ask, I want to know who else is at the party? Let's get into that next time. So if I get invited to a party, I don't usually ask who's going to be there. But if I want to ask who's going to a party, is that rude to do so? I just read an article about this. This sounds like a Curb Your Enthusiasm kind of situation here. About like, okay, if I'm going to this party, I'd like to know who's going to be there. Or is it none of your business? Saying you either go to the party or not. I feel like I have a right to ask who's going to be there. It just give me a general idea of who's going to be there. Maybe it's because I just see the same people over and over again that I do. First of all, I don't go to a lot of quote unquote parties or dinner parties. And if I'm doing so, I generally know most of the people that my friends know. So I have a fairly good assumption of who's going to be there. But have you ever been in a situation? I don't think it's that rude, but maybe I'm totally wrong here. Is it rude of you to ask who is going to be at a party before you're invited? Somebody texts, it is rude, but it's been socially acceptable for forever. Adam, it's all right to ask who else is attending as long as you include in your request the reason that you're asking. Okay, so what are acceptable reasons for asking? If you have like a mortal enemy, or if there's somebody who is a friend of your friend that you do not like or don't get mm-hmm. along with, is it okay for you to ask that friend, well, is Jerry going to be there, or is Mike going to be there, or is Donna going to be there? Because I don't want to go if they're there. Is that rude, or are you just protecting yourself? As Jordana says, are you protecting your peace? Have you ever faced this situation, Josh?
I'm frequently the one that asks when we have really? Get-togethers where it's like, all right, who's all there? Because, I don't know, it's more of a numbers thing. If there's like three people, I'm more of a bigger gathering person. I don't mind if it's just a handful of people, but I typically, if it's like, hey, we're having, you know, a barbecue, I want there to be like yep. 10 people, you know, because if it's three or four people, it's probably the same three or four people I've seen at gatherings in the last week or two or something like that. So, I don't know. A lot of times I am asking, yes.
As you and I both well know, size matters.
Yes.
So size of the party definitely matters, because if it's a big party, you're probably not, A, you don't need the whole list of who's going, and, you know, there's safety in numbers where, okay, if there is somebody there that I don't really want to talk to or don't really care for, you have a better chance of hiding and avoiding that person. Where if it's a small gathering, you know, you're going to be face-to-face with that person. The size of the party definitely matters. 651-461-9226. Is it rude of you to ask whether or not or ask about who's going to be at a party if you've been invited to a party? Would love a phone call on this. Maybe you've had a situation where you did ask or you didn't ask, and then you show up and, there's Barb. Didn't want to have to see Barb here tonight, but there she is, and now I'm forced to talk to her. 651-461-9226. Another text here to the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. If there's a specific person you're asking about, sometimes you can get a pass there. Okay. Adam, tell us more about what you have against Jerry, Mike, and Donna and Barb.
Yeah.
Yes, Adam, as the life of the party, I demand a list of those who are attending. I get it, too, because without me, the party is Dullsville. Well, you got to know, like, what kind of comedy you got to bring to the table. You got to know the crowd, what kind of material you want to bring to that party. Don in St. Peter. Thanks a lot, Adam. Don, I didn't mean you. It's just one of the names that came to the top of my head. But if I'm throwing a party, if I'm throwing a party and have invited a number of people, and somebody asks me, well, who else is going to be there? See, I don't find that offensive. So that's why I'm just going back to the rude comment. Why is it rude of somebody to ask who else is going to be there, either in conversation or if they have a specific reason? Now, I guess if somebody asks, oh, who's going to be there? Well, so-and-so. Okay, well, I'm just not going to go.
Yeah.
Well, then, of course, I want to know, well, why? Is it one of these people, or is it generally, is it me? Is it what's the reason that you don't want to come to this party? Then I'd be a little worried about, okay, that seems a little offensive to me or rude.
Or there is the small percentage, and I've fallen into this too, where, all right, this person's not going to, like, the people that, you know, so-and-so lists off, you don't really see an avenue where a conversation takes place. Like, you don't have anything that really that you could think, mm-hmm. Oh, hey, how's the weather? Like, you don't have anything you could talk about with them, because there are certain people that that I'm friends with that don't know sports or politics or any of that stuff.
Radio.
Yeah. Like, I don't know what I'm going to talk to them about outside of, you know, the weather, which is exciting here in Minnesota.
I was invited to a party, and I asked if my ex was going to be there. They were not upset and said no. It was me that they wanted to see. This is exactly the scenario I'm thinking of. Is like if you've got an ex, either wife or husband or an ex boyfriend or girlfriend, that's where the tension arises. And I know if you have mutual friends and you get divorced and you throw a party, I think it's reasonable if that person has had a divorce that it's not gone well and it's recent. Mm-hmm. If it's 10 years from now, that's different. Where it's like, okay, we're 10 years after your divorce. You got to figure this out. But if it's a recent event and things are still raw and we know that there have been divorces that are very acrimonious, I think it's absolutely reasonable for one of those people to say, well, is she going to be there or is he going to be there? For me, it's about my own social anxiety. If an acquaintance invites me to a party, I want to know if there will be people I know there. That's a good one, too. For a lot of people, like if you don't know anybody, I'm that way. I find it very, I know you're like, give me a break, you're on the radio talking every day, but I find it when I go to a party, if I don't know people, I find it very difficult to icebreak. Al, did you have some breaking news or do you just come in and you're logging? Okay. how do you feel about getting invited? Is it rude, Al Schock, to be invited to a party and to ask who else is going to be there? Is that rude? Al says no, not at all.
There's a lot of times where I'm invited to a party along with my wife.
Yeah.
And it's her friends.
Right.
And she gives me the go-ahead. If you don't want to come, you can stay home.
Bravo. That's a great wife.
And there was one time not too long ago where she went to the party. And she got me frozen pizza and a six-pack of beer. and Gopher basketball was on that night.
Amen,
so,
brother.
Oh, that was just what...
Huh? That's heavenly. That's heaven right there.
We've had this relationship like that ever since we've known each other. So it's not a surprise, but boy, I had fun that night.
Right. And that's...
Yeah. And she did too. And she had fun with her friends.
And there are certain circumstances, though, where like it's like, I know you don't really know, or maybe you don't like some of these people, but I really need you to come with me. That's okay, too. But having the ability to say, you know what? You don't have to go to this.
Whenever I would go back east and for college reunions or high school reunions, I would never take my wife. I couldn't do that to her.
Yeah.
She's
not going to enjoy herself.
There was one time where we got together, and she's 10 years younger than me.
Whoa, Al Schock, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, she gets in the car, and she says, I don't like sitting around talking about 1970s music because I was only five years old.
Yeah.
And that was only one time, but she has gotten along better with my friends from high school and all that over the years. But and. She has some friends that I get along with as well.
Yeah.
And it's but asking who's going to be there, I always do, and she always does.
I just don't tell you, thank you, Al. I don't understand this great offense that people take with it. Somebody texts, I think it's okay to ask who will be at the party unless you're asking the host if they are going to be there. If somebody at the party doesn't share your interests, why don't you ask them about their interests? You might learn something. That's right. Again, I know there are tricks to... breaking the ice and, I'm just not a good, stranger party person.
Yeah. That's, to be honest, that's kind of how I felt at the CCO celebration.
Yeah. The 100th birthday?
I'm 2 years into this, and there's people that are, 30, 42 years into this. And
right.
I know the names. I just don't. I was a minnow in a shark pond, for sure, that night. So.
Al?
The thing about me and going to those parties, you're not going to believe this. I am painfully shy.
Yeah.
I just cannot.
I actually can't believe that, Al.
Yeah. But it's just.
So am I.
Yeah. It's just so difficult to meet new people, especially when they're all talking about the good times. And I didn't have those good times with them.
You didn't have any good times growing up.
Well, no, I didn't. Not with those people I'm talking about. Whatever. Okay.
For me, I do. I have a good friend that crossed boundaries with me, even after asking that person to quit, cannot be in a place where she says inappropriate things to me, an earshot of others. Yeah, again, if you've got somebody that, and that's tough. If you've got a similar groups of friends, that's a difficult place to be.
Yeah.
I was invited to a birthday party recently. I got there and knew absolutely no one other than the birthday boy. Extremely uncomfortable. Right. Some people thrive in that situation where there's like, oh, new people. Great. I want to. Yeah. I wish I was that person. And there have been times where I can do it, but there's other times where I just like, I cannot do it.
I'm 50-50 when it comes. It depends on the day.
Yeah.
It really does.
I went to a wedding in San Francisco a couple of years ago that I was the only people I knew were the couple.
Yeah.
And we were already planning our exit as soon as we got there.
Yeah.
We stayed almost all night. We had a blast that night.
Right.
Oh, my gosh, was it fun.
That's right. And I think more often than not, you have that situation. It's just kind of overcoming that initial fear of it. Somebody texted, I'm going to play this segment to my husband. He drags me to all the parties where I know 1 to 3 people. So boring, he always says, but I want you with me. Then he goes off and talks to all the other people. I hear you, sister. Last one here before we break and get to Tim Lammers. This is words of wisdom that this texter and I go with. If Chad's going, I ain't showing. Thank you, Bill and West St. Paul. I say the same thing. Tim Lammers, how about this new movie with Tom Hanks and Robin Wright? AI, a big part of this. We'll talk about it with Tim next on CCL. Here we go. We bring Tim in on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Jordana off, DJ off. So you got just me today, Tim. Must be a Halloween hangover. Are you a big Halloween guy?
Well, I mean,
I know you like the horror movies.
I'm a monster guy.
Yes.
So, you know, you got to believe, yes, I indeed am. But I've been referring to the last couple of days as the nightmare before Christmas because of the snow.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, let's just get right into it. You know,
right.
Let's get socked in like 91. So, yeah, not quite that bad. But I still have snow on the ground. That's for sure.
You do. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, melt today. You'd be proud of me last night because, like, as the trick-or-treaters were showing up at the door, I turned on Amazon Prime, and Amazon Prime had a whole row of old classic horror movies. So I would just put one on for a while and watch it, like Dracula. Abbott and Costello meet Frankenstein and Dracula.
One of the best.
I remember that as a little kid with Bud.
Lou Costello and Bud Abbott.
Yeah, and with Bela Lugosi's in it,
yeah.
Lon Chaney Jr.'s in it.
Yes.
It was just wonderful, and I love
and
those.
And we get a little of Vincent Price at the end as the Invisible Man.
That's right.
Yeah. So, I mean, I have to bring this up because I know the movie is near and dear to your heart. Terry Garr.
Yes.
Losing Terry Garr this week, one of the stars of Young Frankenstein, and I believe the last surviving major cast member. Of course, the only one that we really have left from the film is Mel Brooks, but, you know, Peter Boyle and Gene Wilder and the bug-eyed guy. What was his name?
Marty Feldman,
Madeline Kahn.
Yep.
I mean, how sad is that? So I'm sure, again, for you, because I know the movie means so much to you.
One of my favorites.
That this is really... Yeah, come on, Mel.
Yeah.
Mel's going on 100, man. He's going strong. It's like, stay.
Yeah, right. You know who else is still with us who was in that movie? The cameo? Gene Hackman. Remember, Gene Hackman was
the
blind guy.
We still have Gene.
Yes.
We still have Gene.
Although Gene, boy, you don't see much of Gene anymore. I don't think he does anything, but one of the great.
He doesn't do films, but,
no.
You know, once in a while you do catch pictures of him happy in his retirement.
Yep.
So, he's still going strong.
One of the all-time greats, Gene Hackman,
yeah.
Such a great actor. All right, let's get to the movie here, because this is one I'm chomping at the bit to talk about. This is Here with Tom Hanks and Robin Wright. Let's hear this before we start to discuss. Okay, this is the reunion, Tom Hanks, Robin Wright, and Robert Zemeckis. We've got a lot of, is it safe to call this AI? Or what is this, just computer generated?
No. They would never put, Hollywood would not.
That's right.
They don't have tolerance for AI.
That's right.
Obviously, there's digital de-aging, and that's been going on for a while. And honestly, one of the best movie trailers all year.
Yep.
It got me excited. Clearly, it got you excited. It got my wife excited. My wife and I went to the early screening of this earlier this week.
Yep.
And... you know, you wonder when you're watching that trailer, how are they going to sustain this? Well, as you see in the trailer, I mean, things begin in prehistoric times. Dinosaurs are roaming, et cetera, et cetera. The camera is fixed on one space. almost the entire movie.
Really?
Okay, so you know, you have where, you know, it's prehistoric times, it's the Ice Age, you know, it's pre-America, it's colonial America, when this house is built, and then you have, this house is 200 years old because it brings us up to modern day, and it's what I would describe, I've been describing to people, it's like several slices of life, just little moments, important moments in people's lives, that it's not only Tom Hanks and Robin Wright's lives together and their children, it's also five other couples or families.
Mm-hmm.
So the movie jumps back and forth a lot in time, constantly. I don't know if you remember a movie called Cloud Atlas,
yep,
where, again, one of the best movie trailers ever. It's a five-minute trailer. See it. It almost brings you to tears, much in the way the Here trailer got me tearing up. I mean, it's like, this is so original and so inspiring. But when you try to stretch it out over a two-hour frame, you realize there's really no story there.
Wow.
We're getting highlights of people's lives, lowlights of people's lives, birthdays, marriages, you know, talks of divorce, marriages falling apart, people living, people dying, you know. And so, you know, if it would have fixed on Tom Hanks's and Robin Wright's story, yeah, then we might have gotten a clear narrative there. But here it's just hopping back and forth. And you're probably wondering, well, how do they hop back and forth, yeah, without it just being jarring and confusing? Again, I love Zemeckis. I admire the fact that he was so ambitious to do this film. So we get the scene with Hanks and Wright, okay? All of a sudden, this panel appears on the film from the next scene, whether it be in the future or whether it be in the past. And then it slowly dissolves into that scene and takes over the screen. So it's not like quick cuts or anything that's jarring. Mm-hmm. It's just, there's a real good flow to it. Unfortunately, the story as a whole, just, there's nothing there.
Yeah.
There's nothing there. So I would recommend this movie only just because it is so different. Whether, you know, people, don't yell at me if you go to the theater and you don't like it and want your money back, I'm sorry, I can't help you there. But it, when it comes to streaming even, I would say check it out, because again, Adam, you and I, almost weekly, it's like a mantra of ours. Originality, bring,
yeah,
it to us.
Yes.
Robert Zemeckis brings us originality. Yep. It's just, it's an idea, I think, that's before its time,
okay,
to be honest with you.
How does the age changing, is it
totally
obvious,
convincing,
or is it totally convincing?
Totally convincing.
Oh, that's good.
At this point, yeah. I mean, it really does look like, sorry about that, it looks like Hanks and Robin Wright younger.
Yeah.
You know, it, whether they actually resemble Forrest and Jenny,
uh-huh,
not really.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like, oh, Hanks' bosom buddy phase.
Yeah,
know?
Right.
Yeah, it's really cool. And obviously, there are different iterations of his character. There's, you know, kids playing him as he grows up, etc. But you also, just so people know, Paul Bettany plays his father. Kelly Riley from Yellowstone plays,
yep,
his mother.
Oh.
Michelle Dockery is one of a half of one of the other families that you see and get her started. She's from Downton Abbey. So, again, you got A-list caliber talent here, A-list caliber filmmaker. But again, it's kind of like Coppola's Megalopolis. You know, you just got to put it out there, and sometimes it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
I won't say it's a bad movie. My wife, on the other hand, she didn't like it.
Yeah.
I mean, she was I guess you could say she was disappointed.
Right.
Because the trailer got us tearing up,
yeah,
and I will say the ending will get you really, really misty.
Okay.
So, God, so many good things to say about it, but ultimately, it's kind of like half a movie.
Yeah. It sounds like, yeah, like they're just not getting enough depth there, that it's almost kind of a surface scratching.
Yeah, I mean, when you get a two-minute scene out of somebody's life, I mean,
yeah,
what do you make out,
right,
of it? I mean, yes, Hanks and Wright's character's story does progress, one key aspect of it. And then there's an overarching theme. I guess the theme of the movie is, and we say it all the time, time flies.
Time
and
flies.
This movie kind of makes you sit back and say, my God, this is so true.
Yeah.
My wife and I just celebrated our 35th wedding anniversary recently.
Congratulations.
Like, thank you very much. And it's like, time flies.
Yes, it does.
what else do you say?
Yeah.
I don't have hair anymore. my beard is white. Time flies.
I need some of that age-changing technology when I look in the mirror, I'll tell you that.
Get rid of this big gut on you. That's what you got to get rid of right there, brother.
Let's go to the streaming pick. Oh, this is exciting. Lioness Season 2. Let's hear a little of this before we chat about it. Yeah, this show, this is Zoe Saldana, Morgan Freeman, Nicole Kidman on Paramount Plus. This is one of those shows that I started watching, and it's not because it was bad, but I just stopped watching it for some reason, just because there's so much out there. This is a good reminder I need to finish season one and then get into season two, because I like this show.
It's a great show. And, of course, a Taylor Sheridan show. I mean, this guy goes for it.
Yes.
I know there was a lot of criticism over the show, and I don't know why exactly. But you know, in a nutshell, the show is about a team that apparently really exists. It's an off-the-books, I think it's a Marine Corps team called Lioness, a Team Lioness it's called in real life. The last season was Special Ops Lioness. They dropped the Special Ops. It's just Lioness now rebranded. But Zoe Saldana leads this team where female soldiers infiltrate. In season one, it's a terrorist cell. Season two, it's a cartel situation because a U.S. congresswoman from Texas is kidnapped. And it's like, we can't have this sort of thing happening. So that's where they need to recruit a new lioness to infiltrate things there. So only two episodes so far, spectacular episodes, riveting stuff. Morgan Freeman, love him, everything that he's in, he adds so much. And I will say it's kind of fun to hear Morgan Freeman throw the F-bombs down. And it's kind of funny because he does a lot of the F-bombs, but so does Zoe and Nicole Kidman. What a power trio. But you know what, Taylor Sheridan, not only that, he gets such great casting, such great writing. I think the cat's out of the bag at this point. Taylor Sheridan was an actor before he was a writer. And let's just say that you might see Taylor Sheridan in this one, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so, it's a spectacular series. Paramount Plus.
Everything Taylor Sheridan does seems to like become insanely popular. It's like the guy can't miss.
And he's got Landman on the way with Billy Bob Thornton and John Hamm, I believe.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, I mean you have that. You have Tulsa King. I don't know if you've seen
Tulsa King. Oh, I love Tulsa King. Yeah, I got to get on season two of that. But that's out. The Diplomat now is out. Season two of The Diplomat just was released. Yeah. So much good TV. I got to catch up.
Yeah, I can. You know, I can understand why you didn't finish it, because again there's just so many, time flies, right? So many hours in a day,
right.
But you know, the Taylor Sheridan shows are the ones I've stuck with. Another one, of course, is Mayor of Kingstown. So oddly enough, the one that I haven't stuck with, I saw the first few episodes, but you know, you get, it's kind of like the Breaking Bad thing. God, do I have time to get into five seasons? I haven't seen much of Yellowstone. I have seen some of it, but not entirely all of it. But great television out there, man. Great streaming television.
Have a great weekend, sir. Love our chats, and we'll do it again next week.
Indeed, Adam. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk next week.
Tim Lammers, everybody, joins us every week. We appreciate the time Tim gives us. His streaming and movie reviews brought to us by Bradshaw and Bryant, personal injury attorneys. Seeking justice for the injured. Seeking justice for the injured. Bradshaw and Bryant. You can find them at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com and hear more from Tim at DirectConversations.com. 10:54, that would be your Lindis construction time. Time to check in with Lindis, see about those GAF solar shingles. Go solar. You can do it without having those big bulky solar panels on your roof. Josh Wheeler, how often do you and your wife get into an argument?
I think our show ends at 12, so I got to keep it brief. Pretty often, about once a week.
Really?
Pretty mild, though.
Mild stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, nothing that's like...
Are you more of a let's vocalize what's bothering us, or is there a lot of stewing involved?
I usually try and pull that out of her.
Right.
She's not... She internalizes a lot of it, and I see right through it.
Right.
Yeah. So it's... Yeah,
if you know your spouse, you know what's bugging them, and you won't buy the, I'm fine.
Yep.
No, nothing's bothering me. I'm fine.
So I mean, not to generalize, but that's a lot of women.
And a lot of men.
Yes, that's true.
I'm the same way. I'm like, I wish I was somebody who could say, this is bothering me. Yeah. It's bothering me because of this. And I don't really know why I can't do that. I think it's a deep-seated fear that if I do that, the other person will come at me with a bunch of stuff that I've done wrong and that I won't be prepared to answer for that.
Yeah.
So here's the question. Because I'm reading an article, I don't know why I am, but it's about Rachel Ray. She and her husband scream at each other all the time, she says, when they fight. They lay it all out on the line. They scream at each other, and then they don't apologize. And she says their relationship is absolutely strong because of it. So here's the question. Is it better, and not necessarily screaming, of course it's better to air your grievances and make sure that you're on the up and up, as opposed to hiding it away and not saying anything. But a good screaming match or a good yelling match, and again, this is not something that's physical, okay? No, this is just people mad at each other, yelling at each other. Is there ever a place for that? And maybe you say, you know what? It's like a pressure valve. You have to let the pressure valve off. I want to know if that's the case. Maybe you're the same way where you're like, you know what? Sometimes you got to let it all out. And it works. You know, it's the old adage like,
yeah,
when you got in a fight with a kid, when you're younger, if you actually got into a physical fight with a kid, a lot of times those kids who fought become like great friends after because it releases the pressure valve.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to hear stories. Does it work? A good screaming match sometimes. 651-461-9226. I want calls on that. I want texts on that. We'll get into that after the news. Adam Carter, Jordana Green, who is off today. It's Adam and Josh. We'll be back.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Back after the news on News Talk 830 WCCO.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.